underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they need the color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
I want to see what?
I ain't repeating that. I love it for public consumption.
So, we went, this is after Thanksgiving, thank goodness, because Thanksgiving weekend, I don't know, about killed me.
Well, an incident that happened after Thanksgiving
and everything. It was just, we got a lot of, I got a lot of deals. If you consider what spend a lot of money deals.
We didn't spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Some Blu-rays, still books.
Several still books.
3 still books. Got Leon the Professional.
You got more than that.
Yeah, you're right, I did. I got Braveheart, Batman Begins, and the Anchorman double feature still book from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Leon the Professional.
Kung Fu Hustle,
which I haven't watched yet.
That's five.
And then Desperado.
That's 6.
Yeah.
It's total still book, Steve.
And I watched Desperado, and that the transfer is amazing on that, I think. The sound, everything is just awesome. And, you know, the artwork, they... Best Buy had a bunch of different artists from different places do the artwork for these movies, and some of them are cooler than others, definitely the Desperado is one of the cooler ones. It's like a skull, did up in the the Mexican Day of the Dead stuff. I mean, it's really cool looking.
You know what's sad is I never had seen that movie, but the parts I saw while Steve was watching them were pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen that movie hundreds of times, but of course, I've got the double feature with El Mariachi on the Blu-ray, but I'm not sure if that suffers for any kind of compression issues. But I also got a couple things from Amazon. They had $4 Blu-rays, but of course, Best Buy had them too.
Steve could have really went into Best Buy and gone.
But X-Men 2, I got. The Spy Who Loved Me, which is one of the James Bonds I don't have.
Did you get Terminator?
In Terminator, yeah. So, be looking at those. Dana got me the Turkey Day Mystery Science Theater 10, which is cool. He's been watching
maybe a couple.
Yeah, I found the... something on Ustream where I can stream it through the TV, the Roku channel, or Roku, rather.
And he can have 24 hours of Mystery Science Theater.
Mystery Science Theater forever. So I'm really liking that just because it's just so convenient to turn it on. And they even have some of the, what's called the film crew, which is the Riff Trax guys did a couple DVDs. Mm. So, liking that a lot. Got Dana a bunch of gifts, but I can't say what they are yet. So,
well, you'll have to wait until after Christmas for us to reveal.
But I'm trying to think of something else I watched after. I mean, I did watch Batman Begins. I hadn't seen that in a very long time, and I don't have it on in HD. So that was, I think that, you know, it's considerable. It's reasonable, and it looked, you know, good. So you don't expect something to look bad on a recent movie on Blu-ray. So I wasn't disappointed. So I've got them all on Blu-ray now. So I think I'm gonna try to make Dana watch the Slaughter Hotel Blu-ray. I was thinking about somehow persuade or something, but anyway.
I just remember watching the DVD that it was slow, and Steve said he didn't remember it that way. And I'll just say what I said before he turned on this recording. Steve just wants to see titties.
Boop. I want to see beep.
You bleeped
it. It's Rosalba Nero.
Well, of course.
And she's that's like 70, 72, something around that area. She's like 30. She's ripe. And she's tan. And it's going to be in HD. Holy crap.
Steve will lose his mind.
Yep. I'll lose some body fluid or something. I'll edit it out.
No, you won't. Because you never edit anything.
I don't. But I think that's what I'm going to watch. And then... hopefully watch some more stuff, because we still haven't gotten back on the Twin Peaks train.
Well, weren't we watching that on Sunday?
Yeah.
There for a couple of Sundays.
Two Sundays in a row, and bam. And then also I bought 3 seasons of $6 Million Man for like
eight.
And
you got Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys
Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew Mysteries Season 1, which I like Season 1, but Season 2 is better. Because it's got like a crossover episode where they're together and it's Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew at Dracula's castle, and Lauren Green's in it.
Lauren Green's in it?
Yeah, I used to watch it all the time.
Do you know who Lauren Green is besides the guy that was on Bonanza and stuff?
He's the guy on Battlestar Galactica.
Well.
No, go for it.
I'll just, a little trivia for everybody.
The trivia.
Sam Raimi's wife. Lauren Green is Sam Raimi's wife's dad.
Can you just say is his father-in-law?
Well, I wanted to stretch it out.
All right.
Oh, fine. It's Sam Raimi's father-in-law.
All right. It's good trivia.
For those that want to know.
And also, I got at Walmart in the big bin for $5. They had a triple feature of Donnie Yen movies. So I thought,
you were watching, what was that?
Legend of the Fist, which is kind of, he had a TV show in Hong Kong or China. It was based upon Bruce Lee's Fist of Fury. And basically he's playing the same character. And then, and this is like a movie continuation of that. I don't know if I liked it that much. They have Flashpoint on there, which if you don't have Flashpoint, that's an awesome action movie. So I would definitely spend $5 to get it. Each one of these are on their individual DVDs, so it's definitely worth $5. And then the other one is like Blade of Kings or something like that.
Didn't we watch the Legend of the Fist while we were eating China One?
That's what we do, Dana. That's how we do.
That's what you like to do.
That's right. That's how I do.
To watch martial arts movies in nature.
Yep. Well, one time I got some Thai food and I was going to watch Ong Bak. And then I ended up watching the original Scarface instead.
Okay, I don't get that one.
I didn't. It just happened and I said, I'll just watch a little bit of this. And then I just got into it and I wanted to watch the whole thing because it's very similar to the 1983 version. But different, of course.
See, haven't seen the original.
Yeah, I think it's on our steelbooks, I think, as an extra, but I'll have to check. I don't know. But anywho, it's on the Slaughter Hotel, Dana.
Well,
Dana's going to check into
Dana's
the Slaughter
got
Hotel.
Her new phone, so she's going to.
She can just be in the room. She don't have to watch it. But we'll be back after Slaughter Hotel.
What's her face's boobies?
Yeah. It, you can check in, but you can't check out what happened in sex.
How do you pronounce her name again?
Rosaba Neary. Yeah. Neary.
Okay.
So I'm saying Slaughter Hotel, you can check in, but you can't check out
doesn't
what happened.
Does this have Klaus Kinski?
Yes, damn it, I can't count. All right, I'm not even going to continue with my... No.
You can check in, but you can't check out?
Yeah.
Unless you're naked?
Yeah. Bye.
God, if that man has managed to create one of those boxes...
What boxes? What the hell are you talking about?
A soul box, Mike. The legendary soul box.
What's that?
One of the most powerful, the most painful of occult practices is the splitting of one spirit. Once the soul has been separated, the severed part can be safely confined in one of these boxes.
And you think...
That's correct. And he was on the verge of splitting his own soul into three parts. An unheard-of practice.
You can't be serious.
Deadly serious, Miss Shawley. And if one of those boxes is ever opened again, the evil spirit can escape into the world and inhabit anybody it pleases.
Hey, Dana.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing this.
He is doing it, Dana.
Okay.
So, didn't get to watch the movie that I was going to say I was going to watch, Slaughter Hotel.
And can you tell everybody why you didn't get to watch that?
Our region-free Blu-ray player was making an awful racket. And then I put it in the PS3, and it made the awful racket. And then Dana has a Sony player, and it worked in the bedroom. But
he doesn't really want to go back to the bedroom.
Well, if I get on that bed, it ain't going to be too long for him to sleep, so.
So a word of warning for anybody that got that. Of course, somebody had figured it out by now. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, who knows what it was. But, watched a few movies. Watched a Nightcrawler, Dana. That was that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It was kind of a one-watch thing. He starts out, he was stealing copper and trying to get it, sell it for money, and then he happened upon this guy filming this car wreck, and then he saw that the guy was going to, he sold it to a TV news station, and then he started doing it. And then he basically starts rising up because he is pretty ruthless about what he does.
Well, I just thought he was a jerk, just complete jerk.
And he's so freaking bug-eyed in this movie.
and
he's like blackmailing Renee Russo, which is who she's about, probably 60. She still looks good.
That's
he's blackmailing her for sex. One. Yeah, he's blackmailing her for
was
sex.
Was he blackmailing yes, her for sex?
Yes. I was like, what the? But whatever.
I don't know. If I had a dollar for every time they said the F word on this movie, I would have been
You'd have $3. But
no.
You'd have $20. But I don't know. Like I say, it's I hear people saying, hey, it's going to get an Oscar and all this shit. But I don't know why. I mean, it's just a quirky movie. It's just not that big a deal to me. What's so groundbreaking about this? Don't let me know.
There wasn't anything groundbreaking, but I thought the characters were unlikable in it. I thought it was there wasn't anybody to root for in the movie, and so I got completely bored with it after a while. You gotta have at least one character you can root for. Did you think there was anybody you could root for in it?
No.
They're all a bunch of assholes, pretty much. In it.
No. There's a few of them that had
well,
some sense,
but...
Well,
that one guy that was his partner, he was probably the best one out of the bunch.
Then we watched a movie where I got my new favorite song. It's Tusk from Kevin Smith. Now, this movie, like Dana says, is she goes, what happened to him? What happened to Kevin Smith, Dana? That's what she said.
Well, I did... But wasn't that that was another one we were watching.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Yeah, I said it just goes to show how far from being able to make good movies Kevin Smith is fallen. I mean, other people might disagree with me. My cousin Jed's a huge Kevin Smith fan. He may actually love this movie. I don't know.
And this movie is about, basically... You got Justin Long.
Who I don't like anyway.
And then the kid from Haley Joel Osment from Sixth Sense have like a podcast or a radio show called the Nutsy Party.
Yeah,
where they
and
just,
it kind of sounds like they're saying Nazis.
Yeah, but this is really lame. And he goes up to, Justin Long goes up to Canada to see this kid who did a YouTube video where he was playing with a sword and cut his leg off. But that part where he cut his leg off was really bad CG. I mean, it looked like a cartoon.
Like
a cartoon. I thought, well, is that real? But I don't know what the deal is. But he was going up there to see him, to interview him. And then by the time he got up there, he'd killed himself out of, I don't know, either embarrassment or he's just stupid. And then, so Justin Long's trying to find something else to do to make the trip worthy. And then he finds... this thing in the bathroom. He's actually reading stuff while he's taking a pee. And it's like, I don't know where he was at, but I've never seen anything like that. But anyway,
was he in a hotel?
No, he's in a bar.
Oh, a bar.
And then he goes up and meets this guy, Michael Parts, which I would say that he is like, he's the best part of the whole movie because he's just
he's so crazy.
Well, he's a good actor.
His character's so crazy.
He's just a good actor. His voice. He actually plays, he plays the same role, but in two different, he like the crazy guy at that point, and then in a flashback, he's playing the guy, the guy's playing like a Canadian hick. With glasses on, so it's pretty, but the guy wants to make, evidently the guy was in some kind of boat, military or something, and he got shipwrecked on a little bitty island, maybe a few feet across, and his best friend was a walrus. And he ended up having, after about a week or two, he started eating on the walrus because he was starving to death.
And then that was said it was his happiest point of his life, so he wants to change
he completely lost his mind while he was on that island.
Apparently, yeah.
Is what happened.
And then, so he starts doing shit to Justin Long, like cutting off one of his legs and then sewing his arms together. And at the end, he's converted himself into basically a flesh-colored patchwork of a
and he's in a sanctuary.
Yeah.
Justin Long's walrus character's in a sanctuary. And I guess he's pretty much, his mind has turned to mush. He's more
animalistic. And then there, Justin Long, there's one point in the movie where he hears his phone, and he's still human at that point, and it's this song called the Margarita Song.
It's one of the worst songs I ever heard.
I'm going to go ahead and play it right now.
Come on now, more margaritas. Come on now, more margaritas. Come on now, more margaritas.
You like that song, don't you, Damon?
No, I don't.
Ooh-wah! More margaritas!
I don't know why anybody... Well, that just goes to show you that Justin Long plays the lamest characters ever.
If that don't make you irritated, this song... I mean, it's so stupid, but I just think it's... When it came on, that lit me up, because that was like, this is the second best thing of the whole movie, is this stupid ringtone.
Michael Parks in that song.
And the ringtone. So, if you Google... Or get on YouTube and say ringtones from the movie Tusk, it will bring up the Al Pacino Margarita Song, and it's freaking hilarious. But I think Dana would agree, it's the world's most annoying ringtone I've ever heard.
But Steve wants to put it on it, and he has put it on his phone, so now every time somebody calls Steve, we hear that crazy song.
But it's not very loud, so I gotta make sure I gotta somehow fix it so that it's louder. But, yeah, Tusk, and then, you know, not to spoil anything, if you don't want to hear this little bit of stuff, you can fast forward it. I'll give you a second here. Fast forward now. Okay, we're talking. Johnny Depp's in it, which he's got tons of makeup on, and it was like, who the fuck is this guy?
We didn't catch it at first.
No, but then it's like, yeah, the voice is because he's doing a French-Canadian accent. But, yeah, he's good in it, but, it's just strange. It's a very strange movie, and it's not something that I ever need to see again.
I mean, honestly, Red State, which was another Kevin Smith kind of off-the-wall movie, to me, that was better than this.
I don't like Red State either, but, yeah, it was better. I just think that the character was just so unlikable, I didn't give a shit if he got turned.
Justin Long is always like that. I think that guy's like that in real life. He's just so lame.
I don't know. I just, the way that they, I guess they try to make him funny, because they try to do comedy in the movie with flashbacks and stuff like that, but it's just not funny.
He's just a whiny ass. Well, everything he's in, he just whines, even before something bad happens to him, he's like that. And I told Steve, I said, this movie is kind of like Human Centipede, only it's not gross like Human Centipede.
Yeah, I mean, there's no really, really super gory scenes, I don't think. But, we're not a big fan of that, I would say, other than the song and Michael Parks. I think he's still cool.
Well, Michael Parks is always cool.
But today I watched... I haven't watched any Bond yet.
Well,
so.
Did we want to talk about the movie we watched last night?
I thought we did. Oh no. Okay. Alright, so I've heard about this movie for a long, long time, and I decided I wanted to see it. And it speaking of Kevin Smith,
did he produce it?
I don't know, Brian O'Hurley? Something like that, you know, from Clerks, Dante.
Yeah.
I don't know if he directed or not, but he's in it. I
figure he either produced it or something, but it's called Vulgar from 2000. And
he's 14 years old.
Yeah. And he's playing Flappy the Clown. He's, you know, living in a dump, and he's trying to go to...
his mother verbally abuses
him.
She's
in a nursing home, and then, like, oh, my God. He's just, like, such a wimpy character, and he comes out of it just a little bit, but not as... You know, I of course, the movie, he gets raped, which I knew that part, and then some kind of revenge, but the revenge really is not like mm-mm. like Savage Streets. You wouldn't say that this is a Savage Streets for clown rape.
Or I Spit on Your Grave or anything like that.
But, so he's not doing well financially with the clown business, so he thinks, he's just thinking up stuff, and he looks at these ads, and he says, how about I do a gag thing or, you know, a goof thing where they have bachelor parties and they think I'm a stripper, but I come out, I'm just a clown, mm-hmm. and everybody will laugh and all that. Well, he puts a thing in the paper and he gets a job. And so he goes there and I don't know why he decided he wanted to dress up as a sexy clown with fishnets and eyelashes. But anyway, he gets in there and unfortunately he's got a crazy guy and his two adult sons, and he basically just... wants him to screw. He wants to screw him and rough him up. And
why that guy that has the
bad toupee? Yes.
No, why he ends up with this blonde chick?
She's like with a little. Apparently, that's either his stepwife, or not stepwife, his wife and his stepdaughter, or his real daughter. But I don't think so. But.
I'm thinking it's more sick.
But the old man is just like, you know, really, it's really almost uncomfortable because, you know, Brian O'Harley, Harlan, is gay, so it's just almost really...
I didn't know he was gay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's gay. And so it's really uncomfortable to see him being forced and, I mean, even if he's not gay, I think he is. I've heard he is.
Well, the whole premise of the movie was.
But even if he wasn't, it's not graphic. It's just the language and the way everything's being said. But he does rape him, and then he gets out of there, and he goes home, and he's like really, you know, messed up mentally for a while. Mm-hmm. And at some point. He's gonna make up a trip to see this girl because he went to their Christmas party at the beginning and the dad was getting arrested, so basically they really couldn't have him. So he was going there, but he finds out when he gets there that the dad just got out of jail and he's holding his little girl hostage. He wants to see his wife, I guess, pretty much because he wants to shoot her and kill her. So he breaks in and saves the little girl and they arrest the guy, and he gets kind of famous, so he gets a TV show, Flappy's Funhouse.
Yeah.
And then the old man rapist sees him, recognizes him, and tries to blackmail him. And so he pays him off, but then he wants to screw him one more time. And so the guy, I don't know what his name is. Flappy's like... At this point, he's going to kill him. So he gets his friend, and they go. They got guns, and they're going to kill him and the two sons. But at the end,
Jason Mewes in this.
Jason Mewes is in it, and also a shaved Kevin Smith in it, wearing like he's got like he's one of the guys who wants him to do the TV show, but he's got like a sweater tied around his neck. It's very strange to see Kevin Smith without a beard, but. Also, with looking like that, he's always wearing that big ass jersey. And
was Kevin Smith's character gay in this one?
No, not that I mean, yes, he was because he was in bed with a bald guy, a young bald guy. It really freaked me out, but
yeah.
But anyway, at the end, it kind of I won't go into more details of it, but the revenge is kind of accidental to the pretty much. And, but, you know, happy endings for, Flappy and the Funhouse. So.
Yeah, evidently so.
So it's a very strange movie. I mean, he has people sleeping on the sidewalk in front of his house.
And sleeping in his car.
Yeah, he goes in his car and there's some guy just sleeping in the back seat.
This guy just, gets real mad at him.
I mean, it is probably around Detroit or Michigan or someplace, so who knows? I don't, or New Jersey, I guess they're from, but I don't know.
Heck, I don't know.
But anyway, it was weird. I give it that. So.
I didn't care for that one either. Sorry.
I mean, I'm kind of happy I saw it because it was so strange. And it doesn't look, it looks like it was filmed really, it gets really, you know, grainy looking. So it wasn't really, mm-hmm. I know, you know what I mean? But, anyway, that was that. And so today,
Steve watched more normal.
I was thinking about Bond stuff, so I decided to pick out one I haven't watched in a while. It was on Her Majesty's Secret Service, and the Blu-ray I've bought, you know, probably, God, I don't know, 2 years, I mean, years ago, and haven't watched it. So, it looks really, really good. I haven't watched
it. Oh, so you hadn't, this is the first time you watched the Blu-ray yet?
Yeah, I mean, I had the DVDs. I had all the DVDs, so I've gotten almost all the Blu-rays I want now. There's one or so I don't have, like, The Living Daylights, which, I don't care about that movie. I mean, if I get it for a buck or two, that'd be alright, but I'm not spending no money on it.
I think I got Steve maybe a couple of the Bond Blu-rays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, recently got that one I got, The Spy Who Loved Me for $4. So, that kind of added to it, the collection. That was one of them.
The one that Barbara Box in, is it that one?
Yeah, and then so's Carolyn Monroe.
Oh, they're both in there?
She plays the helicopter pilot. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was, it's one of the Bonds that it's kind of like a different tone because, you know, Sean Connery's not in it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very long movie, too. But it didn't seem as long as one of the next movie I watched. But so that's an awesome. All the Bond movies are worth checking out, even some of the bad ones.
I like the Bond movies.
Yeah, I'm gonna be watching a lot more of them over the next couple of weeks. But started watching something on Netflix, Legend of Zoo, ZU.
Didn't like that.
Well, the thing is, I saw this. I had the DVD of it. And I watched it back in when it came out around 2001 or so, 2002. It came on DVD, and it was the uncut version. It's about, you know, I don't know how long it is, maybe 2 hours, maybe a little less. And you know, I liked it at the time. It came out over here at the theater for a very small or short period of time. The Weinsteins put it out, but they cut it down to 80 minutes. They changed some of the character names. They gave it a narration.
They screwed it up.
I can't blame everything on them, but yeah, it's really, I was just getting irritated because it was so nonstop, and also, the special effects in it, which at the time were really cool looking, they look like shit now. I mean, real bad.
It just seemed like just this fantasy, mythology type.
Yeah. Well, there's an older movie from 83 called Warriors from Zoo Mountain or something like that, Magic, something like that, which old school effects and everything like that, fantasy, which I probably try to watch again. And I mean, that stuff like that will never get old. But the technology around 2000 or so was a little rough, especially in Hong Kong, apparently. But then, unfortunately, to end the weekend was it's a new Blu-ray of The Day the Earth Caught Fire.
And they put that out on Blu-ray?
Yeah. It's on, it's a British science fiction film. And it's all from the perspective of a reporter. And they're like talking a mile a minute. They're all being smarmy with each other. They're all quick. Witted and all this bullshit.
It's too much talk.
It's just like a fucking, it's just horrible. I mean, I understand highbrow science fiction movies and stuff, but this is not highbrow at all. You know, there's a movie called Primer about time travel, which has almost zero special effects,
but it was still kind of interesting the way they did things. This movie is just all talk, and it's just horrible. And I don't even want to talk no more about it.
And I'll just say, I like a lot of British usually British comedies, but I didn't care much for this movie at all.
No, I mean, I just hated it. And about the hour mark, I said, I got to fix this movie. So I fast-forwarded it. It's trying to see, you know,
if anything happens.
And then at the end of it, they never said, they launched some nuclear bombs, basically, knocked Earth out of orbit, and it was going towards the sun. So they blew up some more bombs to kind of push it back. And then they never really did say whether or not it worked or not. Which I hope that Earth burn up because they bored me. And here I was, Dana knows I was about ready to pass out from being so damn tired. And of course, you know.
That didn't help.
I mean, I wanted to watch something exciting, but you know, all black and white movies are pretty cool to watch on Sundays.
Most of them are.
You know, I should have watched The Most Dangerous Game. That's a very cool older movie.
Psycho.
Well, no, I don't want to watch that. I want something like that. You haven't seen Most Dangerous Game, have you?
No, but I might like it.
Yeah, I think you will like it. It was made with pretty much the entire crew that was on King Kong. And
maybe next Sunday we can watch that.
Yeah. It was almost time to pull out Historical Jesus and take a nap. If you need if you need to go to sleep, you need to get In Search of Historical Jesus.
And I'm sorry, neither one of us are mocking Jesus, so don't anybody get, you know.
No, that guy's voice on there, will just like, it's so monotone. I swear to God, we tried to watch it one time. I didn't get to where Jesus resurrected. It was like, that shit happens like 15 minutes in and we were dead.
Well, it's
on the
like,
couch.
It's just like some commentaries you listen to for movies. Some people are not good at commentary.
Well, I mean, this is one of those Shook Sun things, which I love those movies. But, man, that thing just put me to sleep every time. That's what you should watch every time. Next time, instead of putting on that Terror at 10 Killer, put on that.
Well, sometimes, not that me and Steve are boring when we do our commentaries, but it's just soothing to hear familiar voices. So sometimes I'll put commentaries in that we've done and just listen to it, and it'll relax.
And I'm gonna put a couple of our commentaries on the Dead Pit Roku channel. So, be aware, be on the lookout.
Home Sweet Home's on there now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it on there for another week or so. But then I'm gonna put on Death Proof for about a week or two, maybe a little longer. And then, what else we put on DVD? Roadhouse, maybe. Because these are mainstream movies. I don't want to leave them on there too long.
Yeah, Steve doesn't want to get in trouble.
No.
Lose his privileges to have that channel. Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll keep that on the DL, but we'll put them up there. I mean, I think most of them don't even have sound except us talking about them. So
you might hear a little bit of
Yeah, that so, you know.
We need to put Prom Night up there at some point.
I don't know about that yet.
Thought the Prom Night one was...
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm not saying about putting it on our Roku channel. So, but we'll see. But next time I will watch Donna.
Slaughter Hotel?
Okay. So, yeah, that too. What did I say, Slaughter Diner?
I don't know what she said.
I'm sure there is a shitty movie called Slaughter Diner. Also got a movie I want to call called Bloodshot. It's about a vampire that helps some kind of agent thrall a terrorist attack.
I don't know. Steve's had some strange stuff on.
But that's a newer movie. And so we'll be back next time.
We probably need to do a commentary for some Christmas horror movie or something.
We'll do one for the new Silent Night movie.
Oh, God. Why can't we do Silent Night Deadly Night? Or
Silent Night Deadly Night 2?
Yeah, I guess we could, but I wanted to do something that somebody else hadn't already done, and Dead Pits.
Well, we'll do one for Silent Night, Deadly Night. How's that?
Okay. But,
so, we'll be back next time.
Bye.
Good night. I hate the weekdays.
Mondays.
Oh. Is that how you're signing off?
Yeah. Ooh-ah. Oh. More margaritas.
No, they're ignorant. That's ignorant.
Take me away, away from me.